This morning's scripture reading will be 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15, and I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in a truth which is presented with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at my time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you on this lovely wintry morning. I am resisting the urge that I've had all day to say the weather outside might be frightful, but it's very delightful for us to be together. I'm going to resist that. I'm not saying that. But I've had that urge today. It is very good to see you, even with the weather outside. It's good for us to be together, to have this chance to come together before the table, to come together before the Word, and to encourage one another. And that's what we hope today is about. We hope today gives us hope. We hope it gives us courage. We hope it gives us boldness in the Lord. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 if you want to open your Bibles there. If you don't have a Bible, as always, there should be one somewhere around you. And as always, if you don't have one, that Bible is yours to keep, or we've got some new ones in the back. So we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. Before we dive in, a couple quick announcements. Today is the first Sunday in February, which means a couple things. It means that we have a new scripture for the month. Our education ministry every month challenges us to memorize a short passage of scripture and to be kind of wrestling with that together and in our families, and to kind of be asking questions about it and seeking how to apply it to our lives. And the passage this week is Proverbs 19:21 that says, "Many are the plans of man, but the way of the Lord will stand." And so we're challenged to memorize that and get that inside of us this month. It also means that we're one step closer to spring. And with spring coming means that our spring teaching quarter is coming up. And as always, we are always looking for new teachers to help in that program. It's a fantastic way to serve. It's a fantastic way to invest your time and your talent and your energy in the lives of our children and in the future of this church and in the future of this faith. And so we're always looking for more teachers. We've got a few weeks before that new quarter starts. And so if you've been thinking about it or maybe just kind of wrestling with whether or not that's something you want to do, you've got a chance. You can talk to some people about it. You can sit in on a class and kind of see how things work. But it's a great opportunity for serving. We want to encourage you to be thinking about that. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a perfect person or a perfect Christian. You just have to have a love for the Lord, willingness to open the Word, and a love for the kids. So before we dive into our time, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible grace that it is to be gathered here today. Father, we thank you for the safety that you've given us as you've brought us here. Father, we pray for safety as we go. And Father, more than that, we pray that you would guard our hearts. Father, we pray that as we open your Word together and as we meditate on it today, that you would speak your truth into our hearts, that we might treasure it within us so that it might flow out of our lives as we speak and as we interact throughout this week. Father, we pray for the power of your Spirit, that we might know and understand you and your Word, and that it might bear fruit in our lives. God, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Now, in our scripture reading this morning that Kyle read for us, Peter said that he wanted to stir his readers up by way of reminder. We can be really forgetful people sometimes. I know that the calendar and the reminders that live on my cell phone and that live on the little post-it notes I have around my desk and around my house are incredibly important to help me just kind of stay on track. And it's not just old age that gets us. Not just old age that gets at our memory. We have so many things going on. We have so many responsibilities and so many things pulling for our attention. We're involved in so many different things. It can just be hard for some things to stick. We can forget things easily. Have you ever had that situation happen where you are sitting on the couch or you're sitting at the kitchen table or you're in the garage working and you go to the refrigerator and you open the door and you stare? And then you close the door and you go back to where you were. And then you realize, oh wait, I remembered what I needed. And then you go back, and by the time you get to the refrigerator again, you've forgotten. Or that situation where you walk downstairs into the basement and then you just find yourself standing there, not being able to remember what on earth brought you downstairs. Don't tell me I'm the only one that has this happen. See, we have a hard time remembering things sometimes. Like, not just in situations like that, but kind of even more weightier truths. That's why as a nation we have so many national holidays, Columbus Day and Independence Day and Martin Luther King and President's Day and Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Thanksgiving, because we need to remember. We need to remember our story. We need to be reminded of what it is that makes us who we are. As Christians, that's why we gather so often. That's why we gather every single week, and that's why we surround that table every single week. Because we need to remember. We need to be reminded of what makes us who we are. We need to be reminded of the work that God has done in our lives. So Peter says in the text, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. And as we come to Ephesians 1 and as we come to the New Testament today, that's what we want to do. We want to be stirred up by way of reminder. Not any new information here. There's not anything flashy that you've never heard before. Sometimes we just need to be stirred up, need to be pushed and encouraged and comforted by way of reminder. So let's read in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." This is such a rich text. We could spend all day mining the depth of the spirituality and the theology and the practical life wisdom that is contained here. There is one phrase that I want us to meditate on today. There's one phrase that I think carries so much truth for us. That's such an encouragement for us. Paul says that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. This is a huge, sweeping statement. Every spiritual blessing God has given us in Christ. There is not a single spiritual blessing that we need in this world. There's not a single spiritual blessing that is available in this world that God has not given us in Jesus. So this morning, I want us to simply meditate on some of these spiritual blessings. These blessings that have been promised to us, that have been given to us, not in our own strength, not because we have our act together, not because we have everything figured out, but blessings that are ours because God has given them to us in Jesus. These blessings ground us in who we are. They remind us of our story. And they frame our lives in the union that we have together and the union that we have in Jesus. So the first one, and we'll be looking at a bunch of different passages. They'll all be on the screen, so don't feel the need to flip through them all. And in Christ, we are chosen before the world. Ephesians 1 from our reading said, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. I want you to think for a second about that scene on the elementary school playground where there's a football game going on and two people begin to choose teams. I was always kind of chosen late. I was always usually on the losing team. But how did people get chosen? You got chosen, especially early on when you were good. You got chosen when you had something to bring to the table. You were chosen when you had some athletic ability or some talent, or when you were 6'7" as a six-year-old. You got chosen when you had some value. But this text says that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, which means that God chose you. God wanted you in His family. God wanted you on His side. God wanted you in His church, in His kingdom, before you ever had a chance to prove your value, before you ever had a chance to earn anything. God chose you before the very foundation of the world. God chose us. He called us. In Christ, we also have grace before time. 2 Timothy 1:9 says that He saved us and He called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Think about this for a moment, that God gave us purpose and grace before time. The very idea that God would give us grace, that God would give us a calling, that God would give us purpose is a big enough idea in itself, that we have grace for our failures, that we have purpose for our fragmented and broken lives, that a holy and perfect and righteous and infinite God would give you and I, who are nowhere near perfect, who are nowhere near infinite, who are full of shortcomings and failures, that He would give us grace is a huge idea and reality in itself. That He would give us a purpose, that He would give us a calling in the midst of all of our failures is huge. This says that God gave us a calling, that He gave us purpose, He gave us grace before there was even time. So before we sinned, before we even fell short in the first place, God had resolved to give us grace. When you failed, and when you fail tomorrow or next week, there has never been any question about God giving you grace in Jesus Christ. Next, in Christ, we are loved with love inseparable. Romans 8, 38 through 39, one of my favorite passages, says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture, and this is the climactic conclusion. Many of us tend to worry about a lot of things. We worry about the weather. We worry about our health. We worry about our bills. We worry about our kids. We worry about our nation. We worry about all of these things. But we have nothing to worry about. The love of God extended to us in Jesus will never be taken away from us. I've often said before that there is nothing you could ever do to make God love you any more or any less than God loves you right now. God's love is so powerful. God's desire for you is so strong. There is nothing that can pull you from it. Nothing can snatch you out of His hand. That's how strong God's love for us in Christ Jesus is. In Christ, we have redemption and forgiveness. Ephesians 1, again from our reading, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was brutal. It was emotionally, physically, spiritually brutal. But it was through that brutality, through that blood on the cross, that we have forgiveness, that we have redemption. Because of the blood of the cross, we have freedom, we have hope, we have a future. On the cross, Christ bought our pardon. He granted us our freedom. Sometimes we try to tip the scales in our favor, scales that don't even exist. think that if we are a good enough person, if we are a nice enough person, if we do enough good things, if we do enough religious things, and if we begin to pile those things up, that it will eventually kind of even out for all the mistakes and all the failures that we have. Reality is we can do as much good in the world as we possibly can. All the good in the world there is to do. And it won't make up for our failures. And it won't make up for our sin. Our sin is just too heavy. But it is the blood of Christ, freely shed for you and me, that gives us the freedom, that gives us the redemption, that gives us the hope and the pardon that we so desperately need. It's a blessing of redemption and forgiveness that's in Christ. In Christ, we have the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This doesn't mean that we instantly become perfect human beings. It doesn't mean we instantly have our lives figured out, but it means that when we are entered into Christ, that God begins to work in us. He gives us his righteousness. He takes our sin from us and gives us his righteousness. But he also begins to create in us the capacity for good, the capacity to become more and more like him. In Christ, we have new creation. We are new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So in Christ, you are not who you used to be. You are not known by your past. Your identity is not shaped in who you used to be and what you used to do before Jesus. You might still have to live with the consequences of past sins. I visit with several inmates who have been Christians for several years but are still serving incredibly long sentences. They are new creations. They are not defined by their past. They still have to live the consequences, yes, but they are not who they used to be. You are not who you used to be. You don't have to be defined by your past, because in Christ you are a new creation. In Christ we are sons of God. Galatians 3:26 says, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." This is a big idea that has a whole lot of cultural things going on behind it. But to be a son of God means that we are heirs of the inheritance. It means that we are part of the family, that we are included in all of these blessings that God has promised us. In Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It means that we are lifted up above the superficial stuff of this world. Colossians 3 says, "If you've been raised with Christ, then set your minds on things above where Christ is." We are lifted to a higher plane. We are lifted above the junk of this world in Christ. In Christ, promises of God find their yes. In this powerful little verse, it says in 2 Corinthians 1 that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. The promises that God made from the beginning of time find their yes, not in our ability, not in our righteousness, not in who we are, but they find their yes in Jesus. In Christ, we are sanctified and made holy. 1 Corinthians 1 says, Paul beginning this letter says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus." To be sanctified means to be made holy. It means to be set apart. It's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so in Jesus, we are given the power for holiness. We are given the power for sanctification. It's not something that we can attain on our own. We can try as hard as we want to be perfect, to be holy, to be blameless. And we can try and try and try. But without the power of Christ at work in our lives, without that blessing and without that gift, we will just be spinning our tires. But in Christ, we are being sanctified. There's no question about it. If you are living in Christ, God is working in your heart to make you more and more like him. In Christ, we have every need supplied. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." This doesn't mean that everything we think we need or everything that we want will be given to us. But it does mean that in Christ, everything that we truly need, every spiritual and physical need that we truly have will be given to us. Jesus himself said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all of the other stuff will be given to you. Now, does this mean that nothing bad is going to happen? No, absolutely not. But it does mean, even in the midst of scarcity, even in the midst of those situations where you aren't sure where your next meal is going to come from, or you aren't sure where your next bill is going to come from, you are going to have everything you need. Not to live life as you think it needs to be led, but to live life in a way that will bring glory to God. And in that promise, we take comfort, that we will, God will supply every need in Christ. In Christ, we have our hearts guarded by peace. Philippians 4 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So our hearts that are so often ruled by fear and anxiety or pride and arrogance can have peace. Peace that we can't understand, a peace that we can't explain, a peace that we can't really wrap our heads around, but a peace that comes from God. And in Christ, we have eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So by our sins, our failures, our mistakes, our shortcomings, we earn for ourselves death. But in Christ, we are promised the gift of eternal life, not something that we could ever earn for ourselves, but something that is freely given to us in Jesus. You're given in Christ the gift of eternal life. And in Christ, we are promised resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all may be made alive. So Adam, by his sin, brought sin and death into the world. And we, by our own sin, continue to bring sin and continue to bring death in the world. But through Christ's life and his death and his resurrection, we can know life. Because of Christ's resurrection, we are promised resurrection, not through what we can attain, but through what has been given to us in Jesus. All of these blessings and an infinite number more come to us in Jesus. May we, as we remember who we are, as we ground ourselves in these blessings, be encouraged. May we be stirred up to share these blessings with the world that desperately needs it. These blessings can only be found in Jesus. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's where these blessings come from. These blessings come to us as we are baptized into a union with Jesus. So this morning, if you're here and you are not in Christ, you've never been baptized into him, you are outside of these blessings. We want to encourage you that before you leave, you will make the choice to be baptized into Jesus so these spiritual blessings can become realities for your life. Well, this morning, if you're here and you've been living outside of Christ, you've removed yourself from his kingdom, and you're ready to get your life back on track, you're ready to come back home, we want to pray with you. This morning, if you need to respond, would you come as we stand and as we sing together?